The Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with Bhairav Patel and Alan Clark.
Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast, where we tackle the practical challenges that startup founders and small business owners face and give our own unvarnished opinions. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director at Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, where we partner with small businesses and startup founders to help them define and build their tech vision.
And I'm Alan Clark. I'm the founder of the Business Growth Partnership, and we work with high-potential businesses to help them unblock the blockages that are preventing them from reaching their full potential.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Nation Air. This is Nation in the Podcast. What I'm keen of a chat about today is something that most of us who start a business will at least get through our mind at some point in the journey. And that's the question, should I carry on, or is now the end of the road? Is now a time where actually let's get off this particular bus? My personal reflection on this comes down to when we started up Team Rock, it was only on the night that we signed off the deal and then completed our acquisition that really got the business up and running. Sitting in the airport on our way back from London with the CEO, he and I had been down doing all of that paperwork and the final negotiations. He said to me, "Did you ever nearly give up?" And I said, "So many times." But two things kept me going. One of them was stubbornness. And I said to my wife, "I'm not giving up until Billy gives up. If he says, I don't think I want to do this anymore," I would have given up at that moment because I needed the other person with me to keep me going. And interestingly, he said I had exactly the same conversation with my wife. So it was an interesting one. Neither of us blinked. And the other part of it was, all through that journey, I deliberately never investigated any other options. So I never had a plan B. And I'm not sure whether that was simple bloody-mindedness or what, but I want to have a chat about that, Janine. But have you been through business startups that have gone really well and others that you paused or put the brakes on? What's your experience with this?
So it's interesting because it's interesting what you said, actually, because there are a couple of things in that. One is that story that you told about you and Billy was at the very beginning, right? It wasn't really, it wasn't even during. It wasn't even where you're like 3-6 months in, you just suddenly hired and you realized it got difficult. It was difficult to begin with. And I think that's one of the key aspects, right? Is that even just getting it from zero to something is hard. And then going from 0, 5, 10, whatever it is that you measure yourself at as revenue, that's when it starts getting interesting, but it gets even harder. And I think the way for me is always that it's never easy. It's just a question of how much toughness or how many problems do you really need? Like, not problems. I guess what I'm trying to say is how resilient are you to all the things that come your way? And it's always going to be a problematic, right? I mean, we did the hiring podcast, right? Where the hardest thing to do is hire the first person. Now you could hire that first person, could be a genius, could be the worst human being you've ever had to hire. So then how do you deal with that? Do you say, okay, I'm going to keep this person on because I have nothing else to do? Or do I fire him, move on, take on the work that I gave to that person? As an entrepreneur, you're continually having to be resilient. And it's wearing. It really is. It's one of those things that grinds you down. But the question always becomes is the thing that you're doing worth it? Right? And does it actually, and so with, let's say Avrium was a good example. We talked about it before. We that's how we met. We met through Avrium. Avrium was a good idea. It's actually still a great idea, but yeah, People didn't want it. And it got to a point where we realized that I had other businesses that were doing better than Avrium. It didn't make any sense just to carry on. And, you know, you look at it and you say to yourself, okay, you're constantly getting knockbacks. I can still deal with them, but is it worth it? And then you realize, no, it's not worth it. So I'll go and do something better, because no matter how much you try, no matter how much money I would have poured into that startup, it would have delivered very poor results for years. Whereas there were other businesses that I had that you could put in very small amounts of money and deliver much more returns. So then it becomes that kind of thing, right? You sit and ask yourself, is it really worth it?
So this is about opportunity cost. This is about sitting at any given moment and reflecting on, well, I can carry on doing what is the task that is in front of me right now. I mean, everything in life, there is a risk, but there's also an anticipated return.
So to interrupt there, the plan B bit that you talked about was actually, again, the second very interesting thing is that you didn't have a plan B. And we did a podcast on not having a plan B, right? And the question then becomes, is it, I had a plan B with Avrium, you didn't have a plan B with Team Rock. Question becomes, do you stick at it? And I've got friends of mine who have literally sold their couches, right? They sold everything. I went to my friend's house flat when I was living in Norway. And over 3 years, there was less and less stuff in it. It got to a point where he was sitting in his kitchen eating cans of tuna. And that's how he was living, right? And he sold his bed, he sold his car, he sold his, and I said to him, dude, what are you doing? There comes a point where it's not worth it. It really isn't worth it.
You took the words right out of my mouth here in terms of this idea of having options. And certainly what worked for me in that scenario, and you know, don't get me wrong, it was bloody close at times. In fact, there was many times when I thought it wasn't going to work out, and that was terrifying. Thankfully, my way of dealing with it was not to think about it, or it would have put me in an absolute bitch. What if this doesn't work out? What if we don't get a business out of this, you know? I'm not sure I would have been destitute with the family, but there would have been a dramatic realignment of lifestyle.
Well, you had that story where you had to use your son knows this now, right? You had to use your son's funds, right?
Yeah. Literally right down there, just before we signed the deal off, my account was empty and I had to use a little bit of liquidity out of the savings, and thankfully it all worked out well. But that is, you know, your position with Amrium was that you actually were looking at, I have a range of options, which one am I going to go for? I almost deliberately got myself in a position which is, I have to plow on. And the thing about the position that I worked into, that's the scariest one of all. I think that's the scariest one for a lot of people, because there isn't another obvious solution. What I'm from today's podcast is a guy I've been working with for the last sort of 2.5 years. And I sat with him last week and we did a kind of, it's almost the end of 2021 review. And we looked at the strategic priorities we'd identified for his early stage business at the start of the year. And absolutely everything that he aimed to do, he had done, except his revenue target. And as you said, really, that was the most important one of all. But the reality of it is, he's still got cash in the bank. He's built a team from 2 people to 6 people. He's got loads more customers than he had before. He's got a far better ordered business. And as we said, well, do you know what? It's great. It just utterly aligns you for next year. And then he said, but I've got a job that'll pay me £70,000 without doing any risk at all. And I won't be in charge of anything. And I put the question to him, well, do you want to do it? And he paused for a moment and said, no, I don't. I want to make my business work.
So this is the thing, right? And this, I think, is the key thing. So we talked about Avrium, we've talked about Atom, right? The thing that keeps me up at night is not necessarily the success of the business. It's the fear that I end up having to become a salaried worker, right? That's what you like. You know how it is, right? Once you're bitten by the bug and you want to start a business, you can't go back. You cannot. I mean, so many people I know that will talk, you know, when we talk to, and I talk to other business owners, one of the first things they say is that I'm unemployable now, right? It's not that they can't take a job. It's just that it will not fit them. And I think that's the thing, is that if you really love the things that you're doing and you gain the independence and you gain the freedom to maneuver, there's so many things you can set. You set your own targets, you set your own rules. It's very hard to then go back into I mean, I come from IBM, PwC, I think it would be horrendous for me to try and go back in there. And I look at my friends who are still working in these places, and their imagination to me is tiny compared to mine. And no disrespect to all of my friends who are listening to this, right? But I look at them and I think, well, you know, okay, you've got your 9 to 5. My days are chaos, as you know, right now. We raised every single day is multiple firefighting I have to do for 3 different businesses. But it's awesome. It's like I wouldn't give it up. I wouldn't give it up just to have, you know a day to day.
I think that is a great reflection in your personal circumstance. But part of our role in with these podcasts is not just to look at ourselves, it's actually to help some of the people that are listening. And you say you can't go back because this is a lifestyle choice. But there are people that do have the option to go back, that they've tried something or they're trying something, and maybe it's taken longer or it's harder, and they do have the option to go back to a well-paid, or maybe not even a well-paid job, but security. And one of the issues that I really want to get into today is not our stories, because our stories played out as they did. It's about advising people or giving them some support to help them make their decisions about it.
And I agree with you 100%. And I think that, so I'm currently mentoring someone in London, and, you know, she has a business that's running and she wants to start something else. So she has a business that runs, but it's not really necessarily her business. And she wants to start something new that will give her an independence for her to do her own thing. So for the last 6 weeks or 5, 6 weeks, we've been talking. And what is interesting about it is that it's a very clear blueprint path for her to deal with this one thing. But every time we talk, she goes back to her day to day, right? And I think the key is not, I agree that we talk about our stories, but I think it's about a personality thing as well, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think it's all about us saying to someone that if you haven't taken that step forward and you haven't really committed yourself, then it's easy to quit. Once you actually commit yourself 100%, like you did with Team Rock and I've done, then it becomes much harder to quit, because it's just as someone leaves their 9 to 5 to go and start a business. That's a huge decision, right? We all know that. It's massive. And we've talked about this before. But then to leave your 9 to 5, start your business, and then to go back to a 9 to 5 is equally massive. So when you're thinking about when to quit, the question you would ask yourself is, why did you start in the first place?
Oh, lovely. Yep, absolutely.
If you haven't figured it out, you know, if you're doing it because you think that it's what everyone else is doing, or you feel that this is a nice idea, if you haven't fully committed, then you're not really invested. And it's not about investing money or anything else, right? It's about yourself. It's like saying, am I half a person? Am I half in or am I half out? You can't truly put yourself behind a business unless you're 100% committed to it.
So does that mean that to start a business, you have to resign your previous role and do it 100% of the time? Or can you start a business and run it in parallel with the security of some paid employment?
So the side hustle, you go into the YouTube videos of all the people who say, I know how you can make $10,000 a week, right? It's a question of, yes, you can have a viable side hustle. I mean, I've interviewed people who've had e-commerce businesses running, but generally it's a question of, you're not an entrepreneur then necessarily in that sense, in the way that we talk about it, right? And I think if you really have an idea that you want to go and fulfill, then of course you can start it while you're working in a different role. But at some point in time, you're going to have to jump horses.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the key pivot points is the day when you say, I am cutting ties to a salary to go earn my own money. And that, at that point, you know, do we call that self-employed? I think we've had this chat before about who's an entrepreneur and who's self-employed. And it's a bit of a grey area for me at times, but that doesn't really matter. That's not our subject matter today. It's about that commitment. And I get that if you've got that dream, if you've got that ambition, that motivation at the beginning, you can always reference back to, that's why I really want to do this. But is it not the case that with you, that you weren't entirely committed to any of your businesses because you weren't running them all simultaneously. And you were playing an orchestra or well, I'll see which one of these goes best. And then I'll turn my attentions to where the opportunity lies. Because Amrin was a large part of your work life, but it wasn't all of it.
No. And I guess it's one of those things where I'm very lucky in the sense, well, not lucky, but I'm one of those people that doesn't have a family. I don't have the debts that a lot of people have when they carry over their businesses, right?
Commitments, yeah.
I don't have the commitment. So Avrin was one of those things where it was something that we knew that we could do and we tried it and we put some money behind it and we met people like yourself, went out to market. I think probably if I had been 100% committed to it, it would have been a very different story. Because I guess there's a parachute element to it all, right? Is that because there was something else I could go to, I could parachute out of Avrin. And no matter what we invested in it, there's other ways of using that company and that technology for something different. If I'd gone all in and put all my money onto it, I don't know. It would have been a very different story. But I hope that I would have not had the blinkers to keep going when it was obviously not working. I mean, I was running around Scotland. I mean, I was in some of the places that I would never expect to be in Scotland, which is awesome because I saw Scotland, which is fantastic. But I was talking to people that I would never even expect to talk to, which is again, a good thing. But you realize that, man, if it's going to cost me 30 quid to earn £10 a month, is this really making any sense?
Yeah.
And I think that's the key. And I think there are other companies that who are similar to Avrin who have been successful and it's taken time, that's the key. It's time, right? It's like most companies that we see, let's say the big ones like the Airbnbs or whatever, they were going 10 years before they actually hit it big. And all of our companies are those that, you know, it takes, we've talked about this before, but a spate of my friends have sold their companies very recently, right? And they all sold them for good amounts of money, but they've all been working on those companies for 10 years. And it's only in the last 3 years that they've become businesses that are purchasable. And that's the key. It's those, we've talked about it many times before where, you know, if you survive, most large companies don't survive past 3 years. Most small companies don't survive past 5 years. We're in that 5 year with Atom, right? If it survives, which I know it will do, then it becomes a real business. And then in 10 years time, it will become something that maybe people want to buy or maybe we want to exit.
Other than reflecting back to one's motivation for starting and saying, do I still really want what I wanted back then? And that's great. If it is still what you want, then that's a great reason to carry on. But motivations don't buy groceries. What's your view, you know, and then again, I think there's a very good point there. Reality, you know, the 10 year plan, and for the first 7, we're not actually sure whether this is really going to work or not. I might be earning a salary, and in the early days, I might not be earning a salary at all. I might be selling my sofa and eating tuna in the kitchen. But it's only in years 8, 9, and 10, and probably in the last 6 months of year 10, where you doubled everything you've done in the last 9.5 years, or maybe more. But what's your thoughts on it's year 4? And I feel got another 3 years to go, following that example through, before there's any real outcome here. What are the benchmarks? What are the KPIs one should be looking at to say that £60,000 job, £100,000 job, £200,000 job isn't actually a better option than carrying on and maybe failing at year 6.5? I think that's one of the practical things for many people.
So this is an interesting one, right? Because it depends. So this all comes down to how you, it goes back to one of the things we've done before, business plan, and actually knowing your money, knowing your finances, right? So what is very interesting about Atom is that over the 4 years it's been, the income has been relatively steady in the sense that it's grown, but it's not grown year on year 50%, right? It's grown maybe 10-15% every year, but the profitability has increased, right? So what we've done over 4 years is increase the profitability with a similar revenue, which has allowed us to grow, right?
And how have you managed to increase the profitability?
Resourcing, finding different resources in different places, but also charging more, right? I mean, it's actually pricing. It's one of those things where you say, okay, we're doing this now. We're actually pricing ourselves better.
So really what I hear there is we're learning the business. The more we do it, the better we get at it. The fewer mistakes we make, and we money.
We were massively underpricing ourselves originally, and we were taking on lots of different jobs. What we're doing now is fewer jobs at a higher margin. And that's the thing that we've learned. We were doing probably like 20, 30 projects year one. Now we're doing 4, but earning the same revenue, but increasing the profitability. And I think that's the key learning, right? A lot of times when you're an entrepreneur, everyone talks to you about scaling and going, ah, blah, blah, blah. Ooh, let's make millions in the first year. It's not really that. I mean, it's about understanding your, learning about your business. So when you hit year 3, year 4, you should have enough knowledge about the ecosystem that you're working in order for you to maximize the results, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be profits. It could be whatever it is that you want to measure yourself on. But profits is a good one because that's essentially what we live off. But I think the thing is, it's always looking back and understanding, what did I do last year? How can I make it better? And do I want to do it?
I think you're hitting the absolute knob of what drove me with the chap. I'm not going to mention his name because it's a private matter, but the chap that I've been working with. And actually, how do you know when to quit? Which is a proposition for this entire webinar. And it is actually relatively straightforward. And it actually comes back to one of my favorite things is have a plan and stick to it. And that plan doesn't mean every single move that you make, but it's knowing on your journey what those key waymarks are. And if you're hitting them, the key ones, even though the journey to them might be a little bit hairy at times, carry on. Because you are ending up, you are working towards your ultimate goal. The point where I say to businesses, or to startups, entrepreneurs, to business owners, that maybe it's not for them is you're not moving to base one. And if you're at base one, you're not moving towards base two. You're wandering about. You've lost direction. You've lost momentum. And if you don't get that back, then I would give up. I would quit.
So there's an interesting question here, right? So there's plenty of people who have businesses where they started, everything is going well. They may not be making the revenue that they think they're making, and they're maybe not making the profit. Maybe they're breaking even.
Yep.
Right. So let's say they're breaking even for 3-4 years, and someone's saying, "Well, all I'm doing is I'm basically running on that treadmill, right? But I'm not going anywhere." And they come to you and say, "I'm not moving anywhere. I'm running on the treadmill. Okay, yes, I can pay for my food, my house, my everything, but I'm not saving. I'm not really planning for my future. What should I do?" So what happens when someone says that to you?
When someone says that to me, the first thing I do, and this is actually a methodology for virtually every project I work on, in whatever area. First thing we start off with is let's have a really good, honest, hard look at how you ended up where you are today. And let's look at the home truth of why this isn't going brilliantly. I tend not to do much work with people with businesses that are going brilliantly, because frankly, they're far too busy being brilliant to talk to somebody like me. So we look at it and we analyze hard, what is it that means you haven't achieved what you aim to achieve? And then, based on that learning and what the next inflection point is, we say, this is what we need to do to move from where you are now to that next step up the ladder. Because you're never going to get to the top of the ladder if you don't move up steps at a time. And that can be that actually I've not scaled the business. I've got a micro business and we're all running mad, and I'm not growing my team from 5 to 10. Because I made it 10, we'd all be better at what we do, and we can all grow up. Or it might be we're far too busy servicing the customers we have, and we haven't been bringing in new business. We're great at what we do, but we're never going to grow without bringing in new customers. Whatever the issue happens to me. And then we identify, what is that core requirement? I always say to businesses, never have more than 2 or 3 absolute priorities. And then using some of that, it's not cheating, smart objectives, let's set a smart objective of what we're going to do by what point, and then go do it. And you know what? At that point of measurement, then we'll sit back and say, is there enough evidence to suggest that we have made progress to carry on? Because if you haven't, we need to have a good, hard look at why that is. And going back to what I said earlier on, that business that had doubled the size of its capacity, able to do twice as much work, it had actually grown its revenues, but not at the rate that was anticipated. It had no debt. All the staff, all the suppliers were paid. Unsurprisingly, it was the owner who was feeling the financial pain. His income hadn't gone up as anticipated, but he was still putting food on the table. And it was that one area which then allowed us to say, right, in the next period, there's one thing we've got to concentrate on. The confidence to say, you know what you need to do, just do it.
Yeah.
And if you get to that point, you will have absolutely, well, for this chap it was, were you able to take it from an idea to a trading business? Absolutely. Were you able, and during lockdown, which was quite phenomenal in the world that he's in, because the industry shrunk enormously, were you then able to take that micro business and grow it to twice the size that it was and the capacity to do 100% more work? Yeah. So that was an easy one to say, don't quit. Now, had we still been where we were a year ago, it might have been a time to say, there's a lot of work to do before you can match the salary somebody wants to pay you. And actually, you've lost the love, your motivation, as you say, is no longer there. You know, this is not a failure. I always celebrate anybody that starts a business by saying, you did what most people would love to do, it just didn't work out.
I think there's a whole podcast in how much salary you should take as a business owner. I think there's a whole podcast in that, because I think that's one of the things that most business owners feel, well, not necessarily, not all of them will feel guilty about, but one of the ones where that's the crunch, right? It's the first thing to go is your director salary, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to draw this to conclusion, and I think what you're saying is, things to review when you're having those thoughts, is this really for me? Should I quit and move on? Is first one is go right back to, why did I ever start this? And if that motivation still holds true, then work hard to make it work. The next one is, can I really go back to paid employment? Will I be able to do that? You know, as a little sign on that, I lived in Australia briefly, handed in my notice, and my boss said, oh, I'll see you in a year, you're doing the $10,000 bounce. And that was, well, you come to Australia, and then you decide you wish you're back home, you go back home, and you go, no, I'm going to go back to Australia. And that cost you $10,000, and you learn that actually that's what you want to be. That didn't happen for me. And I guess the other part for me to add to this is a rational look on, are we making progress? Are we on a route? Are we actually, am I or our business, a business that has evidence of progression? And if it has evidence of progression, then maybe it's worth persevering.
And I think the thing is that you should make sure your timeline is longer than you think it should be, right? I think that's the key, right? Is that when you're looking at progression and measuring progression, you should be measuring progression on a larger timescale.
Well, there's another great learning from running businesses. If you assume it's going to take longer and cost more money than you expect, you won't usually be disappointed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of the podcast. Look forward to seeing you next time.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye.
Many thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast today. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all the main podcasting sites. And if you'd like to learn more from us, you can contact Alan. He's alan@tbgp.co.uk. And you can find me at info@atomcto.com.